Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the first?
I think so.
Okay. Are we at 294?
I think 293.
Has joined.
But I could be wrong. I'm not sure if I made the last one.
Okay, well, I know we did 293, so.
Okay. My last little notes were on 1125, so I have a calendar. Well, I did have a calendar. 25th. The 25th was Friday, and we don't do it on Friday, so I don't know. I had the wrong date.
Yeah, no, the 25th was Wednesday, I believe. The 27th was Friday.
Have it turned to another. I do. I have it on December. I had already flipped.
Okay.
Okay. On the 25th. Yeah, the 25th. Wednesday. I'm a solicitor. So.
Has joined.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We will be studying verse 294 in section 22 of Parasha Vayera from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. And we'll start with the Lishem Yehud. Lishem Yehud, Kutcha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Liakta, Lishem, Yudhe, Bavalte, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bishem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayino amadunai Elohinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei aleinu maasei yadeinu kananehu. Pasuk 294. Rabbi Chiyayo amarinun hawo chayavin. Migar maihu vumamon nechaon. The call barnash the ihu tsarina legabe miskena yaot udila it kayam the alma velod eladelet lea chaim le alma the ate we call man the ihu atran. Legabe miskena, yaot hudiyitzkayam, v'alma v'yitzkayam, alma beginea, v'yitleya chayim v'yorka, v'chaye le'alma diate. The translation. Rabbi Chiya said, the people of Sodom were wicked because of themselves and their possessions, and not because of their fertile land. This is true because they refused to give charity. A person who is stingy with the poor is not worthy of continued existence in this world. In addition, he has no life in the world that is coming. But whoever is good-hearted towards the needy is worthy of existence in this world and in the world that and also the world exists because of his merit. He shall have life and longevity in the world that is coming. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. A spiritual law that needs to be lived. Questions, comments, thoughts. Nobody wants to make a comment?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? I hear you.
Okay.
I'm going to have to put your light on. Okay. I can hear better now. Thank you.
Okay. So does anybody want to? Go ahead, Malcolm.
The comment, you know, and they try to starting the process with you and other rabbis about charity. In my past, I felt like if people wanted to give me charity or give me something, I felt like, oh, no, I'm okay. I'm fine, you know, that type thing. Now I understand that we shouldn't be doing that. I think we should be accepting charity, even though you don't need it, and you can always pass that on to someone else if someone gives you something and you're not in need of it. But you should never refuse it, because that act of charity is actually elevating individual soul. And I have a different perspective on the description of charity, or the word charity, so to speak. So it's just a comment. And that's my own personal feelings about it. And I've changed my mindset.
Thank you for sharing that. That's an interesting comment. When you do, somebody offers to give you tithing or tzedakah, because there are two different things, but if you're saying no to that, you are erecting a blockage between, and that's never a good thing, to erect a blockage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that you come to that different understanding. Would anybody else like to comment on either that subject or a different subject?
Well, I think it's hard. It is harder to receive than to give. It's a process you do have to learn to come about. And then when you do have a need, it's like you have to depend on Hashem to fulfill that need.
Well, let's start with the first comment, Anna. It is harder to receive than to share. The question is, do you know why?
Well, I think because if you've one that's always been a giver, and then what Malka said, when someone wants to give to you and you really don't need it, I'll give you a real example. When I was teaching, Malka gave me two packages of copy paper. Now, I call myself the queen of the handouts, and I have to say I use a lot of copy paper. But that was hard for me to take, because at that time I didn't have any trouble buying my own copy paper. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even have room to put the copy paper. But I knew I had to take it. And then I end up using it, you know, really when the ladies came, so it came in handy. So, yeah, you kind of, I think when you've never really had to, I'm going to say, live penny to penny, you know, not to say that we're wealthy or anything, but we really can't say that we've actually hungered or went without something. We've had some hard times during our marriage, you know, where Tony lost a job and it was a while before he could find another. But I can't say that we ever went hungry or, you know, didn't have. And so I guess because of always being the ones to give, and it was just a process that you have to say, take it. Because you also see the value it is to the person who's giving. then I've had kind of the opposite experience. And one day I was fixing my classroom. It was during the summer, and I was by myself. And someone rang the doorbell, and I went to the front, well, really the back, and to answer, you know, to see who was at the door. And it was a man who wanted a handout. And I told him no one was there and that I didn't have any money. And I really did, because I just didn't keep money in my purse, because Tony was always the one that paid for everything. And but I was by myself. He had dropped me off. And, of course, I'd locked myself in. And he just started cursing. And my first thought was, could this be Eliyahu, you know, because, you know, I expect to see Eliyahu one of these days. And it made me think of Eliyahu. But as soon as I told him I had no money, and I said, I'm being honest with you, I don't even have a penny to give you. And there's no one here with, you know, to give you any money. Well, he turned around and he left, but he was just cursing, you know. So you learn a lot in the giving and the taking, but I think because of that action of your body part of your hand, whatever gift you have, that's also like the yud, that Hashem has provided you with that. And that as you extend your hand with that money or gift, whatever it is, and the person receiving it, that you've actually made Hashem's name with the Tetragrammaton. And I don't know, it makes you see things a little bit differently.
It does. The reason it's harder to receive than to share is because of bread of shame. When you receive, you have to resolve the question of whether you have merited that, you have earned that. And your soul is screaming at you if by receiving you are adding to your bread of shame, receiving what you haven't merited. So that's the reason it's harder to receive than to share. And as Chana said, you do learn things in both directions. Whether you receive or whether you're sharing, you do learn aspects that you have to resolve. And the basic questions associated with charity are difficult to answer if you're really looking at the depth of the issue. But we also need to learn that 10%, that last 10%, the Malchut level, is important for us to realize it's not ours. Because if we're not sharing that, it's going to be taxed away, and that tax is always onerous. It's always at the wrong time. It's always got other aspects associated with it. But learning to share is a very difficult thing. And we can have all kinds of justifications for why we should not share. We work hard for what we received. We work hard for what we have. The other person is not as I'm on the call. and I take care of it on Wednesday. The as I was saying, that learning to share is not an easy thing, and we learn in both directions, and we go through different aspects of our life where we need to receive. But the real problem is learning to receive in order to share. It's the transformation from a receiver to a sharer that is so difficult. And that's what wasn't available in the people of Sodom. They just wanted to absorb everything themselves. They did not want to share. And this spiritual law that says, if that's the case, if you're only receiving for yourself, that you really have no right to life. Because the world that is coming is a world where you don't worry or you have no concerns about what you're going to receive. You don't worry about where you're going to sleep or what you're going to eat or what clothes are going to be available to you. You don't worry about these literal tasks or situations, because you know that the society is going to take care of you. It's going to provide a place to sleep. It's going to provide clothes. It's going to provide food. But its own selfishness is fed not from the lack in the world. The lack in the world is coming from man's greed. There are sufficient resources always, every day, to feed every person, to shelter every person. But we find people are not sheltered. We find people are not fed. We find people that are not clothed properly. And it comes from people's greed, people erecting blockages for the distribution of those things to the people who have need. And the different economic systems that have been designed over the centuries, those different economic systems essentially develop blockages due to man's greed. And that's what this verse is trying to tell us, to be aware of where those blockages are developed and try and strive to remove those blockages.
It was also a learning experience to know that we tithe everything, not just money. Everything that you get, whether it's your time, whether it's groceries, whether clothes, whatever.
And it's also children.
Yes, and I thought about that today.
That's the hardest thing for people to realize, that you have to tithe children.
Okay, my thought was because of someone who has COVID, and that came to my mind as to, I wondered if that mother had tithed one of her four daughters, but I wouldn't have known how to tell her how to tithe that daughter. I mean, how do you tithe one of your children? I mean, we know that Jacob did it with Levi, but...
Well, the tithing is to the spiritual path.
Is it a ritual?
It's not a ritual.
Okay.
You tithe to the spiritual path. You teach the child to walk the spiritual path. That is a form of tithing.
Okay.
ritual, Jacob tied Levi to the spiritual path by saying he needs to be working in the temple. He needs to be not growing his own food. He needs to have his own city, but not his own land. There's no ritual in that.
Well, I just wondered if it was like Pidyon Hapin, you know, that you would take your coins and that there was a related ritual.
It's like the honoring of the Yahrzeit. You light a candle. There's no prayer for lighting that candle, mm-hmm. other than the meditation that we're learning about lighting candles for Hanukkah that can be applied there. But essentially, it's not a ritual. It's just recognizing what is the proper action at the proper time. A lot of what religions teach are rituals, but every religion also teaches proper actions for that society. I hope that's a little clearer.
Yes.
We're almost out of time. Does anybody have any questions or comments they'd like to make? Because we are going to be moving to section 23 tomorrow. Have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you. Shalom to everyone.
Shalom.